Morning, everybody. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Sheila's off today. It's time now for The Checkup, our weekly series on how healthcare is changing in Maryland. It's been 2 weeks since Maryland residents could log on to Maryland's online health insurance marketplace. It's called the Maryland Health Connection, and it's required as part of the Affordable Care Act of 2010. As you've undoubtedly heard, the launch was not without difficulties. Many people have faced technical glitches and problems with the site. We reached out to the Maryland Health Benefit Exchange, which runs the online portal, to talk about it, but they told us no one was available to speak with us. This morning, I'm joined by Sarah Gantz, who covers healthcare for the Baltimore Business Journal. Morning, Sarah. How you doing?
Good morning, Tom.
And joining us from New York is Jonathan Wu. He's co-founder of Value Penguin. It's a consumer finance website that's been comparing health exchanges. Jonathan, welcome.
Good morning, Tom.
So, Sarah, Maryland's been preparing to launch this exchange for a long time. It was an early adapter when the Affordable Care Act was passed. Why so many problems?
Well, what the exchange has attributed the problems to is high volume of traffic on their website. They've said all along before they launched that they were expecting some technical difficulties, that they would do their best to address them as they came up. You know, not being a computer person myself, I have to take what they tell me. And what they tell me is that they're experiencing high volume of traffic on their website, and this is contributing to their technical difficulties, that there are just a lot of people trying to access the site at the same time.
So, Jonathan, the exchange often gets compared to travel websites like, you know, Expedia or Travelocity, but it's actually more complicated than those. You're not just putting your credit card in. You put your information in. It goes to the Social Security Administration. It goes to the Department of Homeland Security. Is that a complicated maneuver for a website? Is that the thing that you can point to the reason that things are slowing down?
Yeah, I definitely think when you look at the more components you have to integrate with, and in this case, it's definitely more than just a credit card. So, if you've looked at some of the diagrams that have been put out there, determining eligibility and verifying people's identities, it touches no less than six different parts of the government. And so anytime you have a lot more integration points, there are going to be a lot more complexities and difficulties as you try to get these systems up and running. And that's probably where, if most people's experiences with the websites have been, is the failure point. They're always trying to create an account and then verify their identity, and that's where things kind of fall apart.
So is there a quick fix for how the Maryland site could get faster?
A lot of the ways that people have been trying to get faster is to limit the number of people that have to create accounts. If you look at the numbers in Maryland, I think about 25,000 people have created accounts, but only about, you know, a little bit more than 1,000 have gone through the entire enrollment process. So you have a very small percentage of the initial users wanting to actually sign up and go through that entire eligibility step. So one of the methods that, you know, Maryland, as well as some of the other states, can alleviate the traffic is to move some of the plan browsing and some of the plans up to the front of the process, so people can browse anonymously and do more of the window shopping behavior that we've seen users want to do in the first few weeks.
And there's states like Kentucky who have done that. You can sort of browse without signing up and creating an account, and they seem to be having fewer problems than Maryland, for example. So that's really the issue. It's getting held up right at the very beginning of the process?
Yeah. It's Maryland as well as the federal exchange. And to a part for New York as well, these three exchanges require a lot of people to put in all their information first. And this was actually the process that was least tested and is newest, right? There are a lot of comparison shopping sites out there, and like Travelocity and Expedia, you can anonymously check airline reservations, hotel reservations. And so that functionality is kind of standard. Whereas the pieces touching the Medicaid and Social Security benefits, that stuff is all new to the system and it really hasn't been done before.
Our producer, Stephanie Hughes, went through the process of registering with Maryland's online marketplace. Her first step was to find it.
Okay. I am sitting down, and I am going to Google health insurance Maryland. And the first site that comes up, well, there's, besides an ad, is ehealthinsurance.com. There's healthinsurance.org/Maryland. There's the Health Benefit Exchange. It's the eighth one down the list in Google.
So, Jonathan, that seems like a pretty simple thing to think about. What can the state do to rank higher in the Google searches?
So that may be a little more tough, right? Only because Google has their own algorithms for determining who ranks above one another. Often, though, government-run sites will rank pretty highly. The one thing that a lot of the exchanges have failed to do is to kind of tailor their pages so they rank for these keywords. A lot of people in the SEO industry will design pages and kind of the title tag, the name of the pages, and a lot of the text that shows up to rank for words like health insurance, Maryland, and things like that. So one of the things that the government needs to do is really design these sites to rank better so that people don't get confused. There have been a number of private websites that have kind of tried to defraud people by pretending to be the health insurance exchanges for various states.
Yeah, so that is a problem, and you're seeing that more and more across the country?
Yeah, a lot of the insurance agents and brokers are very incentivized to kind of rank first for these search terms and get people to their sites and pretend, or whether or not they're defrauding people, but to leverage that traffic to increase their sales.
Right, when you talk about the SEO industry, you're talking about the search engine optimization, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, Sarah, as Jonathan mentioned, as of last week, about 200,000 people had visited Maryland's exchange. About 26,000 had created accounts, and around 1,100 had actually enrolled. So what do those numbers indicate to you?
Well, it indicates that many fewer people who create accounts are actually completing the enrollment process. I don't think we can tell a lot about these early numbers just because analysts and the state itself is predicting higher enrollment later on in the enrollment process. People have until mid-December to enroll for coverage that would start January 1st and through the end of March to enroll at all. So what we're seeing early on, the health exchange put out a report saying that 36% of the people who have created accounts are under age 35. So we know that young people are enrolling, which is good news for the exchange because they were looking for those younger people to enroll and not positive that they absolutely would. But we still have a long way to go before we really get a full picture of what enrollment looks like. We are expecting to see more people enroll more toward those deadlines.
How about the gender breakdown? More men, more women?
Slightly more women. The report that they put out said that 53% of account holders were women compared to 47% men.
Sarah Gantz covers healthcare for the Baltimore Business Journal. She's here with me in the studio. Jonathan Wu is the co-founder of Value Penguin. That's a consumer finance website that's been comparing health exchanges. He's on the line from New York. It's the Checkup on Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall on 88.1. So after Stephanie Hughes, our producer, went through the sign-up process on the Maryland Exchange, she received an on-screen message, which she read to another producer, Matt Purdy.
My application has been successfully submitted. If you would like to talk with an agency representative, please call the call center at 555-5555. I don't know. I wonder what happens if I call that number. Do you think that's 410-555?
No, that's the number that they give you, that they use in movies when they're using fake numbers.
So there's supposed to be a number here, and they just didn't put it in. So
the actual number for the call center, the number they list on the website, is 855-642-8572. We've tried that number three times this morning and have not been able to get through, so perhaps that's another glitch. But we will post that number and a link on our website. So, Jonathan, I'm wondering, any new website, it's pretty common to have some glitches. I mean, are these sorts of errors something that you just expect in any new venture?
In general, when you have new applications, you're gonna see kind of things that have fallen through the cracks. I think one of the issues you're seeing here is that a lot of the testing and kind of steps you would go through to double check and triple check these small items just haven't been performed, probably because of the timeline and how quickly these things had to be put together.
Of course, everybody's experience is different with every website and regardless of the area. I mean, Stephanie had some problems yesterday. I signed up this morning at about 7:45 this morning, had no problems whatsoever. In about under 10 minutes, I was completely in and ready to shop. Sarah, what's the state offering in terms of option for people who don't have internet access who aren't very web savvy?
Well, you can call the call center, the number that you mentioned earlier. The state has also established what they're calling navigator entities, so organizations in the community that are in charge of reaching out to people who may not have insurance or may qualify for these subsidies and helping them enroll. So in Baltimore, that's Healthcare Access Maryland. They're there to help you enroll, basically. You can go there, you can find their navigators or their assisters, or they have a whole bunch of different names for the people that, do these jobs, but basically they can sit down with you, help you figure out what you qualify for, if you should be, you know, enrolling in Medicaid, or maybe you qualify for a federal subsidy, and they can walk you through the process if you don't have internet access or you just aren't internet savvy.
So Jonathan Wu, Maryland is one of 16 states plus the District of Columbia that has created its own exchange, and more than 30 are run by the federal government. In general, how's Maryland comparing to the other states?
You know, early on, Maryland was performing poorly. I think up to the first, you know, after the first week, they only had about 300 enrollments, though that's been largely corrected over the last few days. Almost all the states compared to the federal exchange are performing like superstars. I mean, that the federal exchange is suffering the most problems along the process.
Well, that's all the time we have, Jonathan Wu. I appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
Sure. Great to be here.
And Sarah Gantz, appreciate your time as well. And we look forward to reading more of your reporting about this very important topic.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Gantz is a reporter for the Baltimore Business Journal. Jonathan Wu is the co-founder of Value Penguin. It's a consumer finance website that's been comparing health exchanges. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cass. Coming up, two young activists for racial justice on 88.1. Stay with us.